Okay, so the recording started, and I'm Dove, and I'm here for recovery, because I need recovery. And I'm sober, thank God, one day at a time since February 28th, 1997, and in SA, and I'm grateful for that every day. Every day more grateful. Today I laid in bed for a little while, started thinking about feelings, some thoughts that in the old days would make me feel sorry for myself. And I don't do that very much. I used to a lot. When I act out, I don't like saying when I used to act out. That's the guard your eyes way of saying, of looking at things. That's, to me, that's silly. When I act out, and I'm sober, thank God, but when I act out, I feel very sorry for myself, not just because I've sinned, Lord, and forgive me, and I'm horrible, and blah, blah, blah. Besides that, which I do feel, of course, like, you know, like anybody who's got a Jewish conscience, I feel that stuff. But besides that, I just feel like a disorganized, self-centered piece of garbage, you know, because I am when I'm acting out, for sure. So, and the nicer I try to be when I'm acting out, the nicer I try to be, the fact is I'm just trying to be a shuckle. You know, the way Yeravim ben Nevat was a shuckle, he did great mitzvahs. The Midrash, the Yalkut Shimoni brings that he knew 84, I think, ways to teach Torah's Kahanim. This is Yeravim ben Nevat. Choti Amachti is Klal Yisrael, one of the worst Hashanim that ever existed. He knew, I think, 84, I think it says Pei Dalet or something, or Pei Gimel or something, 83, whatever it is, ways of teaching Torah's Kohanim, and he wasn't even a Kohen, so, you know, so it's like, you know, it's like, what, you know, why, you know, why did he learn so much Torah, why did he do so many different mitzvahs that he did, why, because he was a shukel, he was making up for his big averis that he was doing by doing big mitzvahs, so that's what I do when I'm acting out, because I'm a sexaholic, since I'm an addict, that's what I do. I'm a good guy. I want to be good. I'm not a bad guy. Hashem knows I'm a good guy. But, and besides that, I have a neshama tahara. Besides that, but I'm also a good guy. And I want to be good, you know, and I think life should be good, which is part of the reason I act out when I act out, is because I know life should be good. I feel like there should be desire, there should be chesed, there should be cheshek, there should be beauty in life, and I don't feel it, and it hurts, and I feel like life has to be beautiful, you know? Life has to be exciting and beautiful, and, you know, it's partially like Rabbi Victor Miller says, you know, why do people feel dissatisfied? Because we still have in us an awareness of the Rabbonish law. I mean, this goes for a goy as well, of course. Of course it goes for a goy as well, for a Gentile as well. Just the same. There's an awareness because we're from Adam, you know, and Adam spoke to God, and there's this awareness. A Yid has the additional awareness of Har Sinai, which is calling of Bas Kol, Baal Shem Tov says, B'chol Yom V'yom Yotei Mi Sinai. That the Baal Shem Tov says, what's Pshat the Bas Kol? Who hears this Bas Kol? Has anybody here heard the Bas Kol? No. What's going on? You know, Oyla Bunim, Oyla Av, blah, 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 etc. What's this Bas Kol? Yotze Michorev. Why? He says, that's the memory that's alive in the Bria, you know, and everyone can hear it. Yid has the radio set available to hear it. He doesn't turn it on. A goy can hear a different Bas Kol, a different awareness in the Bria that all the people had, all the great men and women had in the old days who were not Jews, you know. They knew there's a God. Adam spoke to God. This is Noah spoke to God. God spoke to Noah, at least, you know. And there was an awareness, and that's still in the Bria. It's still in every living thing. I personally believe that animals have an awareness of God. I don't mean that they have emuna. They can't have emuna because they don't have, I don't think that they have minds like we do that that can have what we understand as emuna, but they have, they can have an awareness, which is, you know, what we, what we for as human beings would call das.
Yes.
And you see references to this in Chazal. There's a lot of things that cover this awareness up. It's called the self, you know. The self is what covers up this awareness. The self. It's not rishis, it's not the Yetzirah, it's not this, it's not that. It's just the self. When it says in Chazal that Moshe Rabbeinu had an aspaklaria hame'ira, and therefore his nevuah was the purest, most perfect nevuah of all the nevi'im, what does that mean, he had an aspaklaria hame'ira? So in Chazal, the word me'ira means that it's clear. It doesn't mean that it shines, it means that it's clear. Perfectly clear, without any imperfections and blurriness to it and cloudiness. All the Nevi'im, they're nisnabu ba'aspaklaria she'ena me'ira. They had an aspaklaria, which is a lens, that's not me'ira. What does that mean? It means that it was cloudy. All the Nevi'im, look in the Ramchal, all the Nevi'im had nevuah that was unclear. In other words, they had to interpret it. And each Navi speaks besignon acher because he has a different way of interpreting nevuah. So if you have a Navi that speaks in an exact same style as another Navi, you know he's a fake and he's chayv misa. You know this. This is what Chazal say, that they can't speak in the same style because if they have the same style, then they must be faking. But Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, it wasn't his understanding that was necessary. He had an aspaklaria hame'ira, a clear lens, a perfectly clear lens. Why did he have such a clear lens? The answer is because he was anav mikol adam, because his self wasn't in the way. He got out of God's way all the time, completely. This is something that nobody does. V'ha'ish Moshe anav mikol ha'adam atal pnei kol ha'adamah, or whatever it says. You know? That Moshe Rabbeinu was more anav mikol ha'adam atal pnei ha'adamah. You know? So, in other words, you know, you're probably not going to be that way. Except you can try. You can strive for that, you know? To get out. In other words, he was more anav than Nachshon ben Aminadav. He was more anav. He was mikol ha'adam, more than Yehoshua, more than Kalev, more than Chur, more than his sister, more than, you know, everybody. Mikol ha'adam. If his father Amram, you know, who I think never did an avera, would still be alive, or that was Yishai. Anyway, whatever. Was it Amram too? I don't remember. But his father would also not be that way. Nobody would be that way, you know. Yaakov Avinu wasn't that way, you know. The Sfasema says that, I know it sounds like a nasty thing to say, but, you know, the Sfasema says that Yaakov wasn't even on the Madrega of Yosef in a certain respect. This is why he says, the Sfasema says, I'm getting off topic, but the Sfasema says, why did Yaakov Avinu say Shema, but Yosef didn't say Shema? I have to remember to get back to the Onav Mikol Adam. Why did Yaakov say Shema when he met Yosef and Yosef didn't say Shema? Because, after all, he wasn't saying Shema just because it happened to be, oh, it's 9:30, Zman Kriya Shema is going to pass, you know? Or it's 6 a.m. and the sun just, you know, it's, you can tell between blue and white or green and blue or whatever it is. You know, so I can say Kriya Shema now, so he said Shema. It's like, that's not the pshat, probably. Probably the pshat is more like this for him, say, that he felt this incredible love, and he saw, like, he wanted to give it over to God, that there should be nothing but God. He felt a love for his son, and he wanted to give it over to God. So why was, if it was such a, that sounds like a great idea. What about the ava for a ben to a father is even greater, some chazal say, than the love for a father to a son. So then, why,
What about Yosef? Yosef should want to give that love over to God and stuff. So the Sfas says, for Yosef, he had already been doing that avoda for many years, of giving love over to God, giving everything over to God, surrendering, which is what in AA we call surrender. Yosef was on a very high level of doing that for a decade already. You know, he was in Mitzrayim for 20 plus years already at that time. And how did he survive there? As Midas HaYesod, how did he survive there? He gave up everything to God, and he saw nothing but God. That's why it says, Shem Shemayim, Shagura B'siv. You know, and he says, Biladai, Elokim Yaneh Shalom Paro. God will answer Paro's, you know, problem and put him at peace. You know? Oh, it's very firm, it's very nice. No, it's more than that. This is specifically a Madrega by Yosef. Specifically a Madrega by Yosef. And you see the same Madrega by David HaMelech, by the way. When Shaul says to him, how are you going to kill Goliath? And he says, I killed a bear and I killed a lion. You know, and then Shaul says to him, what? You know, he says a bunch of stuff. And then it says, and then there's a psik there in the pasuk, and he says, Hashem, who killed the bear and the lion for me, who saved me from the bear and the lion, he'll save me from Goliath. And then he says, go b'shalom, you know, go success, you know, go to success and kill him, Shaul says. What was the repetition there? So the Mefarshim say that at first Shaul thought that he meant Kochi Vatzim Yadi, I killed the bear and the lion, and that David was saying that. And then he says, no, Hashem who saved me, it was really me, Hashem acting through me. And you also see this inyan by David HaMelech as well in two other ways, by the way. And this is related to this whole concept that in Guard Your Eyes, they say it's childish, silly talk. You see people writing about this, that I'm fighting the Yitzhara. Of course, I know it's really Hashem, you know. It's so easy to pay lip service to that. Being on this Madrega is the Madrega of David HaMelech. You're not there, and you're not going to be there in this lifetime. Sorry. It's not a nice thing to say. The Rambam says anyone can be like Moshe Rabbeinu in Tzidkus, of course. But nobody was like him in Anivus. Nobody's going to be like him in Nevuah. That's usher to say such a thing. But no one was like him in Anivus. But everybody out of the whole door of great people, they were big tzaddikim, and no one came to the Madrega. Anav Mikol Adam, no one became like Moshe Rabbeinu. You see, you're not going to succeed in terms of the Anivus. You're not. Because you don't have, you're not Mesugal Lekach. But you can strive in that direction. You can strive in that direction. So we have to strive in that direction. You know, excuse me for just a second. You see, I had a little interruption here. You see that there was a by David HaMelech, two other places where you see this special hisbatlus that you don't see by anybody else in Chazal or in the, you know, or in the Tanakh. Special hisbatlus you see by David in two other ways. How? One is where that was when he was very young, the Maisa with Shaul that I referred to before. That was when he was a young, very young man, obviously, a younger fella before he became the king and everything. He already had that in him a little bit. It wasn't fully developed, obviously. But then, like all tzaddikim, you know, they're different when they're older than they are when they're younger. But you see that later on, in two places, you see that he had this hisbatlus. The biggest one is where Reb Zvi Meir Zilberberg says it was clinched that he would be the Mashiach, that David HaMelech would be the Melech who, among humans, who would bring Malchus Shemayim into the world as a representative of Malchus Shemayim, the Semel, Kain Malchus Malchusa de Ara, Kain Malchusa de Rekia, that David HaMelech would be the Melech here as a symbol of God's Malchus, and that the Mashiach would come through him, obviously. When was that clinched? He says when he left Eretz Yisrael, because I'll say that when he left Eretz Yisrael, fleeing from Avshalom, and because Avshalom was going to kill him. And he was leaving Eretz Yisrael, which is the most embarrassing thing, that a king should leave his own country. And out comes Shlomo HaMelech's Rebbe, out comes Shimi ben Gera, and he starts cursing David with klolo nimretzes, and spitting and throwing rocks at him and making fun of him and cursing him. And Yoav says to David HaMelech, should I kill this dead dog? And David HaMelech says, no, Hashem says to him, curse, so he curses. And then when David HaMelech dies, he tells Shlomo HaMelech to kill Shimi, right? He said to him, make sure that he doesn't go down to the grave, you know, make sure that he dies, you know, make sure that he's killed, not make sure that he dies. Everybody's going to die. You're going to die. I'm going to die. We're all going to die. But even if we're here for the for Mashiach, the Ramchal says, we all have to die, at least for a second. So we're all going to die. So David HaMelech wanted he said, kill him. Make sure that he's killed by the Melech, you know, by the law. Why? Because he had to die, because he was murdered by Malchus. He had to die. So why didn't he do it himself? If that was the right thing to do, why did David HaMelech do the sin then, it seems, of delaying judgment? You know, basically permanently for his whole life. David HaMelech, in his lifetime, was never Mekayim, the judgment on Shimi. How could he do such a thing? Ella what? He said, Hashem said curse, so he curses. In other words, David HaMelech, at that moment, he couldn't exercise din, and he couldn't exercise the din for the rest of his life after he became a Melech Vatikon Kiso. You know, he couldn't kill Shimi after that, for decades after that. Why not? Because he had to accept on himself that there is nothing else but God. And this is not a madriga that you and I are going to come to in our lifetime. You know, and that's not a discouraging, bad thing to say. I know they don't give shmuzin like this. They, you know, in yeshivas, they say these things so that you, because, you know, now you can be this way. Don't fool yourself. Stop fooling yourself. Stop playing with Yiddishkeit. Use it. Don't play with it, okay? We use these things. We don't play with it.
No, I'm trying to learn it.
We don't pretend that we're going to be this way, and we don't let ourselves get all excited. Yes, I'm doing what David HaMelech. This is what the. Let's not be fools. Okay, we can learn from it and use it, but we don't play. Pretend time is for children. Okay, the what's his name said, the Chazal say you have to spit out the treif of milk from your mother, because you know the human milk is treif for the Rabbi Rabbanim. So you have to spit it out. What does that mean? He explains that, this is from the Alto Slobodka, I believe, that you have to start learning the Torah as an adult when you grow up. And all the things that you learned in a childish way before that are true, but they're for children. It's in a childish manner. You need to spit that out. You need to start learning. This is serious. This is for real, you know? One of the great things that brings guys to have to act out is because they childishly learn these things. And we assume deep down inside, somewhere inside us, that we're supposed to actually be this way. And therefore, since we're not, we're failures. I'm talking about a deep, deep problem in people, especially us, a deep problem that we learn these things and there's a childish part. We all still have childishness in us, and that's normal. Doesn't make it good, but it's normal. And there are good things about it, but there are also bad things about it, and this is the bad thing. The bad thing is that there is an assumption, a fantasy, that I'm supposed to be this way. And Rav Noach Weinberg used to call it the desire that lay within each one of us, that we're supposed that I'm going to be the Mashiach himself. I'm going to save the whole world, you know. And there's good aspects to that and bad aspects to that. The bad aspect to it is the fantasy that I'm supposed to do it. I'm supposed to be this way, and I'm not going to be a gadol. I remember it was so painful for me to realize, after I was so excited in Eretz Yisrael, learning for 2 years. It was basically like 2 years It was like 2 years for me in Eretz Yisrael. In my yeshiva, it was like 2 years of kumzitz, you know, 2 years of kumzitz and 2 years of tremendous hislahavus. the tremendous Islavus was such an evil. It was such a horror because in this aspect, I wouldn't change it, by the way, right now. I wouldn't change it. But I'm just saying, in this aspect, it was a horror. I had built up within myself a pretend kind of assumption that I'm supposed to actually embody all these things, and the fact that I'm not created within me a tremendous feeling of failure. This is why when I talk about self-esteem is not the problem in most people that I meet who feel depressed about themselves and aren't happy with themselves. No, the problem is really arrogance. That's the problem. It's too high an opinion of yourself. I feel that I arrogantly believe that I should really be the gadol. And the reason that I'm not the gadol is because I didn't try hard enough. And there are countless shmuzin in yeshiva given along these lines specifically, that the reason that the Chazon Ish wasn't a genius either, and the only reason that you are not the Chazon Ish is because you didn't try hard enough, and you're a failure. That means you're a failure. Kinas Sofrim Tarba Chochma. Does that mean that because there is such a saying in Chazal, Kinas Sofrim Tarba Chochma, that means that I should apply that to myself? There's lots of things. Shakes to Shakfenu Kicherim Hu. Does that mean I should apply that to myself? I'm Cherim. It says Kicherim Hu. You know? No, come on, this is silliness. There's a fifth chelik of the Shulchan Aruch, the Rabbanim say, and that's called how do you apply the other four, you know? And that's what's the difference in a rabbi and a scholar, you know? How do you apply the other four? That's why there are so many. Chaim Nachman Bialik went to Volozhin, was a Talmid Chacham, smoked on Shabbos, was an atheist. What's going on? And there was a big problem. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, if you would have been in Europe before the Holocaust, you wouldn't have such tremendous Holocaust shyness about how could such a thing happen to all the tzaddikim, because they were smoking in yeshiva on Shabbos. Jews, especially in Lithuania, which is where he was from, Jews were leaving yeshivas in droves to communism. Droves. Jews were joining the Bund everywhere. I mean, I'm not saying that we, God forbid, deserve the Holocaust because of these sins and that things. Who am I to say anything like that? That's not what I'm saying. But this, you know, let's get down to earth over here. Okay, let's be serious, you know, about things. You know, so the fantasy is all nice and great, but kinaso from Tarba Chochma is one of the greatest evil things that passed through my mind until recovery. In recovery, I learn, as an addict, in recovery, I learn how to use kinaso from Tarba Chochma properly. I learn how to use these things properly. That's what recovery is about. That's why the second step says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. We're not looking for sobriety in the steps. The steps aren't about sobriety. Sobriety I have because I don't have a choice. Period.
No. Now,
excuse me, just a second. The steps are about sanity. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Sanity is proper application of all these things. And Kinesop and Tarba Chochma has one of the most narrow, minimal applications that I can think of any other, like, motivation for an addict. And therefore, since we get an inflated sense of self and a fantasized way of assuming how we really should end up being, we allow ourselves to bask in that fantasy, which is what adolescence and childhood is really about, fantasy and play and stuff like that, which is great. But since we allow this into ourselves enough, then what happens is when we realize I'm not going to be a Rosh Yeshiva ever, you know, I'm not going to be a this, I'm not going to be recognized as that, I'm not going to be da-da-da-da-da, you know, And then as we get old, I'm probably never going to make a siyum on Shas with the Maharsha. And that, you know, and we start to realize I'm never this, I'm never going to get that, I'm never going to get this, I'm never going to, you know, and then you have, well, I'm never going to get an orgy. I'm never going to get, there's a lot of things I'm never going to get. I'm never going to be a millionaire. I don't know. There's a lot of things I'm never going to get. You start to get older, you realize more and more and more, you know. As that state progresses and a person realizes I'm not what I imagined one day, of course, I would have, and that's not a conscious thing, imagining what you should have. That's not a conscious decision. That's something deep inside us, assumptions that we have about how I'm supposed to be and how I'm supposed to be known as and what I'm supposed to become and all that. When that's inflated like chametz, then... And a person's not matzah, which is reality, is matzah. The dough as it is matzah. When it's inflated, then that's chametz. That's the self. That's the ego. And the bigger that ego is, the more pride there is. Because I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be. Ho-ho! You know? And I'm not ho-ho. So I'm a failure. I failed at being ho-ho. You know? So that causes lack of self-esteem. Self-esteem is usually because of arrogance, because of pride. It's the opposite of what people think. Sorry about that. I got cut off. So this leads back to somebody wanted to ask a question. I'm so sorry. Let me just finish this one thing so that I get redirected. So this is all supposed to lead back to Moshe Rabbeinu is the Aspaklaria Hameira. He's a clear lens, and therefore his nevuah was perfect. And he's the only navi, by the way. I'm sorry for the digression. Yaakov. In some respect, Yosef HaTzadik was greater than Yaakov Avinu in some respect, according to the Sfas-Emes. This is obvious. In the same way, by Yaakov, it says Yaakov, there's a psik, Yaakov, right? Noach, it says Noach, Noach, it's in two separate psukim, right? The Sfas-Emes says, and it's Abraham, there's different people where they're repeated, their name is repeated. Only by Moshe Rabbeinu is there no psik. This is a Shluha Kodesh writes this very clearly. Only by Moshe Rabbeinu is there no psik between Moshe and Moshe. By Yaakov, the Bakore Apidin, this is what it is. The Bakore has to read Yaakov, pause, Yaakov. But by Moshe, it says Moshe, Moshe. You're not supposed to pause. What's the significance of that? Because the Sfasema says there's a you that's high and there's a you that's low. Okay? There's a me that's high, there's a me that's low. In other words, there's my perfect potential and then there's my low potential, you know, what I really am. You know? And those two me's, the Zohar Kodesh refers to this. And he brings Zohars in about this. And that's he brings it down into Avoda, which is a Hasidic way of doing this, obviously. So that's the higher me, the lower me. By Yaakov Avinu, by Noach, he was very close. The high me and the low, the high Noach and the low Noach, the potential and the actual were very close. But they were two separate psukim, you know. By Yaakov, they were extremely close. You and I couldn't see maybe the difference, perhaps even, especially later in his life. But because we were all developing, right? So, see, there's this fantasy idea that we have that the tzaddikim were always tzaddikim exactly as they were in the last few days when they were their whole life, and, you know, and you don't have kashas from early in his life to late in his life, and people go crazy about the Rambam. How could there be a kasha from the Mishnah Torah? You know, from the Mishnah Torah on to the Rambam, how could there be a kasha? One he wrote when he was 17, and one he wrote when he was 50. You know what I mean? So it's like, why do you have a problem that there could be a kasha? But no, it drives you crazy. There can't be a kasha in a Rambam like that, from the Mishnah Torah to the Pirush Mishnayos. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, well, okay, that's you know, that's silly. But by Moshe Rabbeinu, the actual and the higher one, the potential, were basically the same. So you say Moshe Moshe without a psik. Why? Because he was one of Mikol Adam, because he didn't get in God's way. Therefore, his aspaklaria, his lens, was clear. Me'ira means clear. In Chazal. That's what Me'ira means, that it's clear. Light goes right through it. Therefore, it's Me'ira. It's bright. Because it's clear. Why? Because he was one of Mikol Adam. You get out of God's way. That's the program. The program, the entire, all the steps are to get rid of the ego part of the self. To get rid of, but, that part of myself. But what about, you know, that part of my, to get that out of the way, you know? It's similar in concept to what Chabad calls, you know, talks about bittul and this, and, you know, And it's similar in other ways to other things that other people talk about. You know, the Buddhist lahavdil, elef alfei havdalot, the Buddhists use, you know, have a similar concept for a different purpose. You know, for you know, attachment to this and that and whatever it is, to gain bliss and gain that and gain the other thing. So, you know, that's a different path. That's kind of, you know, to me, it's kind of selfish. It's sort of like, you know, the Mishnah says, al tehi. Don't be an eved that serves Hashem in order to get Olam Haba. We don't serve Hashem in order to get Olam Haba. We serve Hashem, we're supposed to serve Hashem because it's the right thing to do. That's it, period. That's what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says Hashem really wants. That we do it, you know, for Him, not for Schar. That's getting ourselves out of the way. The more you do it for the mitzvah, for the Schar, not for the mitzvah, I'm sorry, for the Schar, the more you're doing it for the Schar, the more in your way you are. This is why many Hasidic Rebbes would say, "Ich shik darayin dem schar," before he did a mitzvah. I send the schar, the reward, away. I'm not interested. Before he did a mitzvah, many rebbes would do this. Why? Because, you know, that's not why I'm doing the mitzvah. I'm doing the mitzvah for the Ribbono Shel Olam, because I want to do His will. Because He's good. Because God is good. He matters, not me. It's about Him, not about me. You know, so that's and that's the path of the program, and the reason that the program has that path is because, as an addict, we see how we poison ourselves, and how we destroy ourselves when we're left. We as addicts destroy ourselves when we're left to our own desires, when we're left to our own devices. I mean, and try to run our own lives. We see I cannot manage my own life. That's step one. My life is unmanageable by me. That's first step. You know. So this is all one unit. This is all the same. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to take a slight break. Somebody wanted to ask something. I'm sorry I delayed you for so long.
So it's okay. It was more of a question on something specific you were saying. But I can really relate to what you're saying. You had said that you were able to take Kinasofer and you know, use it positively in your recovery. I was just wondering if you can give a short, like a small example of that, if you don't mind.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. The first way I can use it in my recovery is to reject it, okay? That's the first way I can use it, okay? Similar to a pretty woman walking in the street, okay? That's the first way I can relate to her, because you know, the Chazal say, what's a tzaddik? Tzaddik is ochid shemaya v'ara. A tzaddik, and that's the midah of yisod, that's what that part of the body is referring to, too. It connects shemayim and aretz. Man is shemayim and woman is aretz, right? Karka olam, that's aretz. Yismuchu ha-shemayim v'sogel ha-aretz. Hashem, right? Yismuchu ha-shemayim v'sogel ha-aretz. That's why we say by a bris of all places, Yismach Aviv be Yotzeich Alatzav, the Sageil Imo befri Bitna. That's Yismachu Hashemayim, the Sageil Haaretz. So the tzaddik is Achid Shemayim Vara. That's what the meaning of Yisod is. When you shake hands with another guy, when you make an agreement with another person, you have a chavrusa, you make an agreement to learn together, you have a business partner that he hires you to, you're nice accountants, you know what I mean? So whatever, you know, you're a doctor, you know, whatever you are, you decide you're going to accept this patient, to work with this patient. They come to your office with a cough. And you agree, I'm going to treat you. I'm going to do the best I can to help you. Some loud noise there. We make an agreement to work together. Two people make an agreement to have a business deal. That's Yisod. That's the meaning of Yisod. Two people embarking on a project together, unifying their powers together to create something that each one by themselves could not create. That's Zivug of two Partsufim. That's what that is. That's connecting two whole beings in a project. That's anytime you make an agreement with anyone, that's the Midah of Yisod. That's why the Klal Yisrael is thrown out of Eretz Yisrael and we're still in Golus, the Chafetz Chaim says, because of Sinas Chinam. It's not just the Chafetz Chaim, but he makes a big point of the Chazal that say it's because of Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam is Yisod Malchus. We need Tikkun Yisod. Reb Nachman says Tikkun Yisod is holding back Mashiach. What's Tikkun Yisod? Tikkun Yisod is the opposite of Sinas Chinam. Connection between people, that people should be friends. You know, I see the value in you. That's why I love you. That's why I can work with you. I see the value in you. In other words, you'll pay me $100 to fix your fence. You know what I mean? So you have value to me. I agree to work with you because you have value to me. You know, then there's intrinsic value. So that's real ahava. So fine. In any case, that's connection between people. That's what he's waiting for, you know, that we should connect. See value in each other, you know, and of course the right value, you know what I'm saying? So the Shlach Kutter says, pigs are called chazor. Why? Because chazor, they're osid lahachazir, to become kosher. That's why it has the outer simanim and not the inner simanim. This is the Shlach. So that's why Shabtai Tzvi ate a chazer, because that was part of his whole act, and he knew what he was doing. You know, he knew how to put on an act and what to act about. But anyhow, so what's going on? That there are certain things you have to have the proper relationship with it, and if you have the proper relationship with it, so then you have whatever it was, you'll get it, whatever it was that you would have gotten had you taken it the wrong way, you know? So the chazer becomes kosher, okay? So how do I have the right relationship with chazer now? By staying away from it, the tachlis, that I don't eat it. I don't eat it, and it's metame, you know? It's a behemoth tamea, which has halachas of tumah v'tahara that are different than, let's say, a cow, you know. So than a behemoth tahara. So fine. So it's chazer. I distance myself from it. So there's a lot of things like that where the only relationship you can have with it is to distance yourself from it. So and if you do that properly, so then la'asid lavo, there are some things like in the case of chazer. There, where you're going to get it. You're going to get it back. You know, God's going to give it to you because you distanced yourself from it when you were supposed to be distant from it. So now it's going to become kosher. There are some things like that. In the same kind of way, kinesel from Tarba Chochma, I have to separate myself from, I have to distance myself from, because it's treif for me. For me, it's treif. Just like there are a lot of things that are good for a lot of people, but they're treif for them, so to speak. Like you have an allergy to it, or you're a diabetic and you can't have concentrated, you know, candies and things like that, you know, except in certain situations, obviously. But there, you know, so that's so Tina 7 type of Chachma, the first thing I have to do is distance myself from it. That's my relationship with it. That's how I use it. That's the first way. I use it by saying, yes, it's okay for him. It's not okay for me. Okay? Like an alcoholic needs to separate from alcohol. Alcoholics, there's a difference between, you know, guard your eyes and the whole, you know, Yiddish way of, you know, oh, lust, internet, the internet make a thing, the internet this, lust, stay away from lust, Averis, Sneas, everybody, no. You know, we're crusaders, and that's okay. That's fine. And normal people should crusade. Once you're an addict, you realize I can't crusade against this stuff. As soon as I become a crusader, I'm going to start doing it. Because that's how it works. You start telling other people not to, no, don't. You're going to eventually do it because that's arrogance. It's going to feed you back into drinking. And that's the way that it works. Alcoholics who become teetotalers, crusaders against alcohol, start to use alcohol. You know what I mean? Again. So, anyhow, I you know, there's a certain relationship with it, a certain respect I need to have for this stuff. You know, so... anyhow, I lost the train of thought that I was on. I'm sorry. So that's the first thing I need to do is separate myself from it and say, this is okay for you, it's not okay for me. You know? Once I do that, then Hashem enables me to use Kinaso from Tarba Chachma. In a certain, because now that I'm abstinent from it, I'm celibate from Kinaso from Tarba Chachma, for a few years, so then slowly I start to learn how to use Kinaso from Tarba Chochma because I distanced myself from it. And one of the ways that I can use it is by titering. You know, they call that in like scientific experiments. You titer things. You know, you let out little tiny like 14 milligrams at a time. You know what I'm saying? I can, but you can only do that if you're abstinent from it for a long time, you know. I can start to have small doses of Kinaso from Tarba Chochma. So, what's my small dose of Kinaso from Tarba Chochma? Appreciating the beauty in somebody else and what they do. Okay. So for me, Kinaso from Tarba Chochma is going to be. It's going to look, it's going to have different complexion, a different appearance than it will have for you, let's say. My Kinaso from Tarba Chochma is going to be, my God, look at how beautifully he puts on his talus. Look, he seems oblivious, you know, of his surroundings. You know, and look what concentration he has with his talus. Look how he's focused on what he's doing, you know. Now, 3 years before, I would have interpreted that same scene very differently because the guy whacked me in the head with his tzitzios as he was swinging them around his back. You know? Since he whacked me in the face with his tzitzios, my reaction would have been, what a stupid idiot. And I would have had the support of Kama Vakama Vertlech, you're a big tzaddik, you're praying, hey, watch out for the guy behind you that you don't smack him in the face, Rabbi Yisrael, and here and there. You know? And that's all I would have seen. Oh, the guy's a jerk. That's all I would have seen. You know? Now, Kinaso from Tarba Chochma saves me from that. Because I can say, you know what? There's something beautiful in what he's doing. I want to learn that thing. I'm sort of jealous. I see the beauty in what... Look at the focus that he's got. Now, this is not to say that everybody who's so stupid that they obliviously swing their talus around and whack people in the eyes behind them must be a grace at tzaddik. That's like saying that Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mibreditchev is a dummy. Because, oh, look, Klal Yisrael, Hashem, look, he's, you know, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak was no dummy. Yeah, he wasn't a fool. But he learned how to use certain midos of ignorance for the good. He learned how to ignore the negative parts, and therefore his eyes were opened. He got himself out of the way. He learned how to ignore, oh, well, he whacked me in the face. The natural reaction of a person is to hate that guy. Hate him. oh, you're over on Locisna. No, there's nothing conscious hatred. It's not conscious hatred of the other person. That's not what I'm implying. But I'm saying that it's there. You know it's there because now you can't see any good in what he's doing. For sure in what he's doing. I probably can't see any good in the rest of what he's doing either now. Because fourth, you see, he's a Russia. He hit me in the eyes with his salve. And he's the worst Russia of all because he's a Russia who thinks that he's a tzaddik. You know, because look, he swings the talus around. That's the direction that I go without this, without recovery. And it's all ois gehalten al pi chazal and the sfarim and the sifrei musar and chassidus and everything. There's a way to do that. There's a way to get around all the gutzkeit and shake my head. Nebuch. What a loser. Nebuch. You know? And there's a way to do all that evil stuff while still being a good guy. You know? It's possible. Well, I won't go to the extent that I won't say, Ani soneyoto. I hate it. No, Chas v'Shalom, I love him because there's a mitzvah, isn't there? If I have to lecha gemacha, so I must love him. You know what I mean? You know, I must love him. There's a mitzvah. So it says in the Torah, v'ahavta lecha gemacha, so for sure I love him. No. Hello. Just because it says it doesn't mean that that's my reality, buddy. Let's get real here. You know? He ticked me off. He really ticked me off. You know? So, in recovery, I can be free of that because of the process of recovery is ego reduction, thank God. And therefore, he can whack me in the eye and I can say to myself, at first I'll react, of course, emotionally, and then I'll see it and I'll do a 4, 5, 6, 7. I can run through my steps in a second. Not a second, 5 seconds. You know, and I can run through my steps because I've written them out on paper enough times. Now, I don't always do this. But I can, Baruch Hashem, you know, and then what happens, and then I can say, wait a second. After I do my 4, 5, 6, 7, and I surrender the resentment, I can now say, how could a person like him, who I know is a man living an examined life, he's a conscious man, he's a conscious person, how could he come to do that? And I could say, well, let me look again at how he put on his talus. You know, maybe he wasn't just carelessly saying, to hell with you, swing the talus. Maybe he was just focused and he was oblivious. The Chafetz Chaim would call this Dan Lekav Zechus. Tzvi Meyer has a whole book on, he didn't write it, but he gave Shmuzin and they put it into a written book called Diyun Lekav Zechus. You know? The same thing. How do you down the kavzachus? By being a fool? Well, sort of, you know. And now I can use kinesof from Tarba Chachma. I can say, let me sort of be jealous of his simplicity and his sincerity. Oh, well, there's a bad part to his sincerity. He doesn't look around him and think what the effect is. He's being over on what the Mesillas Yesharim would call, you know, Nikias, that he doesn't see the bad repercussions that come as a result of his good actions. Well, what does that mean, that he deserves to go to hell right now? I mean, how about me? Do I look at the good reaction, the bad results of the good things that I do? How many decades did I live in my life, you know, doing horrible averis? Calm down over here. That's what I need to say to myself. What they call it in AA, I got to fetch myself up, you know, and say, whoa, 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 what's the truth here, you know? So now I can use these mitos. That's the answer to it. That's my answer to your question. That's my response, the best I can give you. So, but it all depends on ego deflation, because without the deflation of the ego, we're toast. We're just toast. We're steamrolled by our ego, steamrolled. And all this talk about, no, in Yiddishkeit we hold that we shouldn't, stop giving me speeches, stop giving me schmoozen, stop giving me party line. Yeah, I know the party line also. Yeah, I heard the schmooze, I know. I know the raid, I know the sprach. A real anivus is, okay, yes, I know. what's really the truth here? What's really going to work here? Okay, you know, almost every aspect. Oh, there's somebody got on about 30 seconds ago, and since they got on, there's background noise. Maybe you can mute your phone by hitting star 6, Javier, or Javira, or whoever you are. Thank you very much. I'm just trying to make it work for myself and everybody else here. What's his name? So see, all the success in any of these things depends on one thing, ego deflation. Without ego deflation, and as long as I'm alone, an addict on my own, the way I was, the way I am before recovery, you know, ego deflation to me means depression. to me as an addict, ego deflation means depression, means self-hatred. That's what he means. Oh, that's terrible, ego deflation. Because to you, it means to hate yourself. To you, it means to put yourself down. And you say, well, don't these addicts put themselves down all the time? Hi, my name is Moshe, and I'm an addict. Yeah, you're putting yourself down. It's disgusting. You know, that's a terrible AA. Oh, you know, that's how you see it, because that's what ego deflation means to you. You don't know what this guy's really doing. You don't understand why he does these things, and he leaves the meeting, and then he comes home, and he treats his wife great. You put yourself down, and you treat your wife and kids like crap as a result. He goes home, and he treats his wife and his kids great because he does what he does in his meeting, because he's not putting himself down. Saying I'm an addict, if I'm an addict, now, you know, it's very in style to call everybody who masturbates an addict, you know what I mean? And it's not true. But it's not true at all. But, and you know, if you really are an addict, then calling yourself an addict is like calling yourself by your name. My name doesn't say who I am, but it's part of me. And it's a part of me that's important. My name is important. In Yiddishkeit, we say names even have meaning, you know. And you know, it's part of who I am. And certainly I'm an addict as part of who I am. It affects everything I do in a good way because I'm in recovery. So it affects everything I do in a good way, the fact that I'm an addict. It's a positive thing. The only reason that I understand anything at all about ego deflation is because I'm an addict. If I weren't an addict, I wouldn't need the ego deflation. I would be talking about something else. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not putting myself down when I go to meetings and admit all the ways that I act out when I act out. Thank God I haven't had to act out in 19 years. Thank God. 19 years and a bunch of weeks. And I'm grateful. And I'm not putting myself down when I say these things. And so many people keep saying that, keep thinking, you know, that people are, and you're not. Admitting the truth about yourself, if it's the truth, is the most liberating, helpful, healthy, happy thing that a person can do. Ein simcha kehataras hasfekas. I know exactly the truth about myself. And there's no simcha like that. Instead of running around, I don't understand, why am I doing these things? Well, it must be the Yetzer Hara, which is God's fault. It must be God's fault. It must be this. I don't understand why. Oh, will someone please tell me how I can finally beat this thing? And no. You know, that's a moloch to me. That's gematria of suffix. That's a big, you know, that's attacking myself. If I'm an addict. If I'm not an addict, then as I've always said, and most people are not addicts, just because they do these sins doesn't mean you're an addict. But if you're not an addict, then fight. Rigzu v'al techetou, imru b'vavchem, al mishkamchem, v'domu sela. Work on yourself. Fight the Yetzer Hara. He's trying to kill you. He's your enemy and he hates you. And that's his job. And that's Hashem's will. And fight if you're not an addict. Fight. And if you need therapy, get therapy. And if it doesn't work, then you might be an addict. And if you're an addict, you can join us. We'll be glad to help you share what we have with you. We're not going to teach you. We're not going to look down on you and teach you our wisdom, blah, blah, blah. Because we don't have wisdom. We have experience, that's all. You want us to share our experience with you, we'll be happy to. But if you're not an addict, then don't pretend you are just because you want to be a member of the club. That's crazy. That's immature. But if you're an addict, for God's sakes, get help. And the help may be 12 steps. It may not be for you. I don't know. Except if you want it to be 12 steps, here we are. You know? This is not an SA call. This is a guard your eyes call, and I don't speak for SA. But as an SA member, I can tell you, I'd be glad if you think you are an addict, or you think you may be an addict, I'd be glad to talk with you. You know, and that's why I'm on Guard Your Eyes, and there are other guys in recovery on Guard Your Eyes, and women in recovery on Guard Your Eyes. That's why we're there, to do a 12th step, to make ourselves available, not to crusade against this and that, because we don't think that our way is right for everybody, and we don't know, we don't go around trying to stop everyone from doing a theirs, because that's not our job. We're addicts. You know, we're here to share, so I got to get myself out of the way. The more I pretend I'm fighting for God, that's just my ego talking. I'm not fighting for God. I'm humbly doing my 12th step. Why? Because I want to stay sober. If you don't give away what you got freely, then you ain't going to keep it, because you never deserved it in the first place. You know, because I never deserved it in the first place. That's why I'm doing it. It adds humility. It doesn't make me a bigger and bigger and bigger maven and a bigger and bigger, bigger macher. It doesn't. It does the opposite. If it's done right, you know, it's all about ego deflation. Every single step of the way is all about ego deflation. Otherwise, forget it. We're toast. If we're addicts, then we're toast. If you're not an addict, it might be good for you. Kinesov and Tarbuch Chachma might be the best thing in the world for you. You know, if you're normal. Yeah, but I'm not. All it does is destroy me, like many other good things. You know, just like alcohol destroys an alcoholic. You know, and gambling is also mutter. And according to some postgame, gambling is mutter. It's just that if you lead a life of gambling, that's another story. But occasionally, what's the heter for doing all these, tickets, you know what I mean? Raffles, this, that. It's gambling, you know. But anyhow, if you're a gambler, if you're a gambling addict, you can't participate in, you know, these Chinese auctions and this and that. You can't. You lose your sobriety if you do. You're going to destroy your life if you go into that. Oh, but it's for good cause. Forget it, you know. This isn't about good and bad. This is about what works for me and what doesn't work for me, you know. So anyhow, same thing here. So no different. So I didn't get to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. And I didn't get to talk about... I didn't get to share the... reading from the AA Big Book that I very much wanted to share, but that's the way that I am. I need to accept myself, and that's okay. But I hope that something was worthwhile for somebody. I know it was worthwhile for me. Excuse me. But try to wrap this up and tie the strings together. Let's see. Do I need to tie the strings together so that I'll look good? Or feel good about myself, you know, I shouldn't need that. I need freedom from that more than I need the feeling good by making it a perfect talk. You know what I'm saying? It is all about ego deflation. And ego deflation is a pleasant, maybe not pleasant, but it's a happy process. It's a road of happy destiny, you know, that we trudge. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful journey. And it only leads to more happiness living as we are, you know, living with ourselves and with God and with the people around us. Those are the three areas. Peace with God, peace with myself, and peace with the people around me. And the more we focus on the misunderstandings that we have, the worse we're going to get. So we need new ways of thinking, you know. That's the key, you know, for us. So open-mindedness is
humility for us. That's humility. And it gives us the ability to be teachable, you know. And as soon as I know everything, I'm not teachable anymore, you know. I saw a bumper sticker that's kind of cute. It said, search for all the answers. Run away from the person who says he's got all, you know, he found them, you know. So, kind of a cute bumper sticker. Probably was just anti-religious, but the concept of it, I can see how to apply that, definitely. That when you meet somebody who's, you know, got a brand of Yiddishkeit or something, which he says answers everything, everything is neatly answered, you know, then you know he's a fake. You know it. He's a fake. You know. If he says that I don't have all the answers, but I have all the solutions, so then that I can understand. The solutions mean that I don't really have the answer to the question, but I can teach you something, or I can share something with you that may make the questions irrelevant. You know, that I can understand. You know, that I can accept. But that you have all the answers, that's called arrogance. And the fact that you're saying, no, it's not me, it's Yiddishkeit, it's the Torah, it's everything, Torah Simtanima. Of course the Torah has all the answers. Yeah, it has all the answers. You know, Chazon Ish used to be able to draw surgeons' diagrams and stuff from Torah, right, because he never went to medical school. So then where's that? Who in our generation can do that? Which rabbi is drawing surgeon drawings today? Nobody. Okay? So then the Torah doesn't have the answers for everything? Well, it does. It's just that we're not learning. Okay, well, that's the way that it is. It has all the answers, but we can't access them. We don't, obviously. So then stop pretending that the Torah has all... Yeah, it has all the answers, but it won't answer the thing. It has all the solutions. That it has. Because Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, answers everything. Like Kohelet says, like Mishlei says, V'hakesef yanes hakol, Kohelet says, the hakesef yanes hakol. Money answers all the questions. You give someone money, they go, oh, I understand. You know, so, but the truth is, Torah really has the answer, has the solution to everything. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, solves every problem in the world. Ve'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha. All your struggles inside you. Oh, you did terrible averis. You love Hashem anyway. How do you love Hashem with the Yetzirah? You did terrible averis, you still love Hashem. That's how you love Hashem with the Yetzirah. It's very simple. You did terrible averis, you can still love Hashem. You know? What does it say? Habateach b'Hashem, rabim machovim l'rasha, v'habateach b'Hashem chesed yisov avenu. So the Midrash Rabbah brings someone that says, rabim machovim l'rasha, it should say v'latzadik, Chesed Hashem Yisov Avenu. What's the opposite of a Rasha? A Tzaddik. Why does it say V'habotech B'Hashem Chesed Yisov Avenu? So some of the people who wrote the Midrash Rabbah said that it means a Tzaddik, but some said no. Afilu Rasha U'botech B'Hashem Chesed Yisov Avenu. That even if you're a Rasha right now, and you put your trust in God without doing tshuva, you put your trust in God. And you mean God. You don't mean a chicken. You mean God. You know? Chesed Yisov Avenu. Hashem will help you. Hashem will help you turn out good. Hashem will help you. The student of the Ramchal, Reb Moshe Vali, has in his Sefer on Tehillim, look this Tehillim up. Rabbi Mechogim Rosh, V'Habatech B'Hashem, Chesed Yisov Avenu. Look it up. There's two places in Tehillim where it says it. At least look up one of them. I think it's somewhere in Mem or Lamed or Lama Gimel or something like that. But look it up. Look at Reb Moshe Vali's shot in there if you want to see. You know, gorgeous along these lines. So what is that saying to us? What is that telling me? You know. How did I come onto this? I forgot. I knew I was going somewhere. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, b'chol levavcha. Love Hashem b'chol levavcha, b'shnei yitzarecha. B'shnei yitzarecha. B'chol nafshecha, afilu hu no telas nafshecha. Even if he's taking your life, you know, al nafshecha. Even if he's taking your life. So the first one says b'chol levavcha, meaning with your whole heart. In other words, even if you see you're a rasha, you're a bad guy, you did averus, whatever, and you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Still, try to love Hashem. What does it mean to love Hashem? You know, so the pashat pshat is, if you look in the Mishnah, you'll see, means giving everything you have to Him. That's what it means. You know, if you look at it, you'll look in the Mishnah in Brachos. It means action. It doesn't mean feelings. It means action. Take action. And even afilu hu notel es nafshecha. What does hu notel es nafshecha mean? He's taken my life. What does it mean he's taken my life? It means he's taken everything I have away from me. That's what chol nafshecha means. Chol nafshecha means a person's going to die. What does that mean? That means he's never going to be able to see baseball games again. He's never going to be able to see his children again. He's never going to be able to see the sunrise again, or the sunset, or the moon, or the forest, or his grandchildren again. Or he'll never be able to see physically. He's losing his eyesight. That's what happens when somebody kills you, God forbid. Well, I know. They're taking away the person's eyesight, meaning they won't be able to see anything anymore. And his money. He's taking away all the person's money because he won't have his money anymore. And he's taking away his wife, and he's taking away his this, and he's taking away his that. God forbid, lo aleinu. Losing anything, lo aleinu. Shem yishmerenu. So that's what happens. That's afilu hu notel es nafshecha means he's taking everything. That's what happens. It's all rolled up into one. He takes away everything, you know, everything. And still love him. In other words, still do for him, you know. And then, v'chol me'odecha, v'chol midah u'midah, shehu modeh lecha, heve modeh lo b'ma'od ma'od, ma'od ma'od, like Rabbi Akiva teaches, that, you know, v'chol me'odecha means all your money, all your power, you know, all your skill. Different people teach it up, I think. So, and then the drash from the Tana, v'chol midah u'midah, you know. So, what does all that mean? That means that he's the solution to all the problems. Whatever it is, God's the solution. You know? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You know? It's also ego deflation. It's saying, well, this and this was taken away. Man, am I angry. He kicked me off. He took away this. I stubbed my toe. This, that, the other thing happened. You know? It's against my will. I am fuming. What's the pshat? That is what I want matters. And the answer is, what is that saying? It's saying, actually what I want doesn't really matter. What he wants matters. That's what matters. You know? That's what that pasuk is saying. It's ego deflation. That's ego deflation. There's nothing else but ego deflation going on here. That's the program. You know? That's every single step of the program. Is this specific deflation of this specific problem. It's freedom. It's freedom. Like the third step prayer. Freedom from bondage to self. You know, that's what it is. So, anyway, speaking of freedom, maybe in the next talk, Tuesday, I'll talk specifically about Yetzias Mitzrayim. I really want to get to that topic one day. I want to go through the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and try to explain it the way that me, an addict, sees the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Look, what's significant? What am I supposed to learn from that? How am I supposed to use that story? You know? It's an important story. It's in the Torah. It's not just stories. The Torah doesn't have any stories in it. Right? The first Rashi there, you know, whatever it is. Well, maybe not the... Is it the first Rashi? But whatever, it's one of the first Rashis there. Says, why did Hashem tell us these stories in the Torah? It's l'seis l'chem nachlas goyim, you know what I'm saying? To give us the nachla of the other nations, of the seven nations. to give us the inheritance of the name. In other words, Eretz Yisrael, you know, to show that the land of Israel is ours, and that's and it's destined for us, and that's it, period, you know. So that's why there's stories, you know. So the Ramban goes on that, and on that topic, you know, in Sefer Bereishis, and he's like, Maisa Avasim Labanim. There are things we're supposed to learn from these stories. So what are we supposed to learn? As an addict, what do I learn from Yetzias Mitzrayim? I really want to talk about that very much. Rabbi Twersky has a whole Haggadah on it. I see it totally differently, and I want to have a chance to share it. Is that my ego? I don't know. Anyway, thank you so much, whoever's here. It makes it so much easier to talk, even though it's recorded. It makes it so much easier to talk when I know there are people, you know, and I love people. Have a good day.
Thank you.